This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So breaking NFL news this morning. The NFL has announced that the Packers and Eagles will play the first ever game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th. So the day after the season opener. For the Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, the Packers and Eagles will play in South America. First ever regular season NFL game, or I believe any game of any kind, on the continent of South America in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
I would like to go to that game. I'd like to go to Brazil.
Never been to Brazil? Never been to South America?
Mm-mm.
Has anybody been to, I've been to Europe. You've been to Europe.
Yep.
Any other continents represented?
Australia.
You've been to Australia.
I have been to Australia. Into Europe. I think that's it.
Africa.
Never been to Africa. Would like to go.
Asia.
Never been to Asia.
Antarctica.
Never been to Antarctica.
Joe's been to Antarctica. Joe Musgrove has. South America.
I'd like to go to Brazil. I hear it's wild.
You want to go to Carnival.
I don't think I can handle Carnival, but I would like to just go and meander around.
I bet the pageantry for that NFL game is going to look
I bet
sick.
It's going to be great.
Caprinas and...
Are the Jaguars now thinking, oh, crap, they're going to make us move there now.
Who's the teams that are playing?
Packers and Eagles.
Eagles,
good,
okay.
Pretty good. NFC matchup.
Those teams aren't going anywhere, but anytime the NFL plays overseas, anywhere international, it's always, could the Jaguars play there permanently?
I think I would get in a lot of trouble in Brazil. It feels like there's a lot
of
trouble.
Seems like they're fairly loosey-goosey, though.
It feels like there's a lot of trouble there to be had.
Yeah, personal trouble, but I don't know that you'd be held liable for it in Brazil. They just seem like they live and let live and have a good time.
Sounds good to me.
Down in South America.
You don't have to watch baseball all the time and be obsessed with baseball when you're living down there.
Got a take on what's coming up in a couple of minutes on a Wednesday. A chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. It is our musical trivia contest, Tier 1 v. Woods. If you'd like to be our contestant today, you can call in right now at 833-288-0973. Phone lines are wide open. You're just going to have to wait a few minutes until we get to our game here coming up. Padres did make a move before last night's 5-1 loss to the Cubs, sending Graham Pauly down to AAA and calling up Brett Sullivan from El Paso. So something we have discussed at least the last couple of days on the program. In fact, I thought this was a smart move that makes a lot of sense. Brett Sullivan has gotten off to a really hot start, including 2 5-hit games already at AAA. Now, those numbers are very deceiving because the Pacific Coast League is an incredible offensive league. But I just think from a roster construction standpoint, having that extra catcher and another left-handed hitter, it makes a lot of sense. And making sure that Graham Pauly, even more importantly, is getting some regular at-bats and is not just sitting on the bench, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, also makes a lot of sense for a young player who I think the Padres still think very highly of.
Oh, absolutely.
And believe will be a part of this team going forward, probably later this season.
Sure.
But right now, he's not contributing much to the team, and he's not getting a ton out of the experience. I'm sure he enjoys being in the big leagues.
Yeah.
But he was the first one who said, "No, this is good. I need to go and play." He said that before he left in the clubhouse yesterday, and that's wisdom. That's a young guy being wise about his future.
Boy,
knowing as fun as it is to be a big leaguer and enjoy the big league lifestyle, if you're not playing, it's not really helping you that much.
Sure is fun though, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I mean, I bet it's just spectacular. You know, they hit white balls in batting practice. The women all have long legs and brains. It's from Bull Durham, Benjamin. No, it's good for him. That's what we need. He needs to go down and get ABs and get regular work at third base and all of that. You know, so hopefully Brett Sullivan can come up, provide a spark. I mean, the offensive numbers, as you've called them repeatedly, in El Paso, a mirage. Most certainly. I mean, you know, Brett Sullivan is fine. He's fine. He's not, again, reminder, not a guy that you expect to come in and make. He's not an impact type bat.
I don't expect him to come in and play very often.
100%. You know,
but he gives Mike Schilt some flexibility you know, once or twice a week with what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
Perhaps allowing Luis Camposano to be a designated hitter on a day when he's not catching, because then you have a second catcher, an extra catcher, an emergency catcher in addition to Kyle Higashioka.
Correct.
There could be more moves coming this week. We discussed it. Is a bullpen move necessary for the San Diego Padres? Mentioned Jeremiah Estrada looked good last night. He looked very sharp early on the year for AAA El Paso and had a really good spring as well. I mean, he was one of the guys competing for a spot in the bullpen at the end of the season, and he has started off well. Is that something that the Padres need an injection in? I would argue maybe yes, and not a panic move, but the reason you have the depth that you signed in the offseason was so you could use these guys. And there might be a better way. You know, he's a guy who maybe could even be a sixth or seventh inning type guy, a guy who you might bring in a situation like last night's game, with runners on and try to get a big out like that. Didn't work out for Steven Kolek last night. Will the Padres add to their bullpen and we see a move soon? I don't know. We'll see.
I think the most troubling thing for me is after the really nice run through the rotation that we just had, well, we're now 0-2, essentially. I know we won the game against the Cubs, but as far as our starting pitchers go, this time through the rotation, you did not have a good outing. Joe did not have a good outing. And so now, you know, it's up to Dylan Cease today to come in and be a stopper and try to win this series today. But you felt like, okay, this is now trending in the right direction, and now it's trending in the wrong direction. You do feel like the back end of your bullpen, you feel good. You feel Matsui, Peralta, and Suarez. Great. There's 7, 8, 9, and we're good. Those middle innings, if your starters aren't going to give you length, Ben, who's going to be able to bridge that gap? They keep throwing darts at the Steven Kolek board and the Johnny Brito board. Brito was fine last night, but again, who's going to be the guy, the Nick Martinez? Who's going to be... Is it going to be Avila? I don't think so. You know, they have three guys that they're going to right now. None of them are really effective.
Well, this is why you traded for Dylan Cease, because you're going to have the trips through the rotation where he always has a bad April game.
Yeah,
every single year. And Joe's not going to be perfect every time out. Now, when that happens and you don't have depth in the rotation behind it, then all of a sudden, oh, now we got a five game losing streak before we can get up to you. You acquire a guy like Dylan Cease knowing that when your other guys have days off, you've got another potential ace stopper who can come in and keep you from losing a bunch of games in a row or win you a series today. And Dylan Cease is coming off a solid performance against the Giants in his last start. 6 innings, 4 hits. 7 strikeouts, 2 runs. Padres did end up losing that game late to the Giants, on the walk-off in the 9th inning. But
he did his job.
But Dylan Cease pitched well, and would like to see a repeat or even better performance. He went over 100 pitches. Going to want him to go deeper into the game today. A lot on Dylan Cease's shoulders for this one, but they need a series win.
You got to win a series.
Padres have not won a series yet this year.
And watching what the Giants are now doing, I said yesterday, they're a crap team. And a guy in the chat said, they're not a crap team. They just took 2 of 3 from us. And I said, no, they're a crap team, straight up. And they're just getting bodied by the Nationals right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a team that you need to beat.
Yeah, you do have to be fair. If you're going to dump on the San Diego Padres, which is valid opinion, they haven't looked particularly great through 14 games this season, you can't just simply say, oh, but the Diamondbacks, they're going to be fine.
Because
the Diamondbacks also have not looked great. Oh, the Giants, they're going to be fine. The Padres are the team I'm worried about. No, Padres are still in second place in the National League West right now. They're all off to slow starts this year.
Everybody is terrible right now.
You know, other than the Dodgers. I promise you, at least one of those three teams is going to figure it out. There's no reason why it can't be the Padres, but none of those teams has gotten off to the starts that they were hoping so far this season. So be the first one to figure it out and pull away from the other two teams while they're still struggling. Don't give them, quarter. The Dodgers are just laughing right now. They're 4 games up already in the division.
Already.
Last year they won 100 games. You know when they had their first 4-game lead in the division? July 15th. They're already 4 up. It's April the 10th.
Whew.
They can possibly have this thing wrapped up by May if things continue to go the way they're going.
That's kind of what we want, actually. We want them in cruise control.
If the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Giants don't you know, get it into groove pretty fast, and the Dodgers just continue to play, you know, 7-14 baseball, which is not out of the realm of possibility for that lineup. They're going to be 10-12 games up by Memorial Day.
Feasibly, they could be like 7 games up by the end of the weekend.
And they could be 15 games up by Memorial Day. And you're going, the NL West is done. I mean, we thought it was probably done to start the year. It'll be officially done before the weather even gets warm.
Keeping it real in the chat says, when you spend, you win. Were you here last year? Did you watch this team last year? Because we spent and we didn't win. And that so I don't know that that's like the answer. Doesn't hurt when you get Tyler Glasnow going out, striking out 14 last night. You know, you're getting production from your stars. Shohei is starting to hit. Mookie has been hitting. Freddie hits. Yeah, Margie says, we spend and we lose. That's exactly
Padres
right.
Padres picked up a star, a Dylan Cease. You know, I mean, arguably every bit of Tyler Glasnow on the acquisition scale in the offseason. They need him to perform.
He's good, yeah. I mean,
Glasnow.
He's not. No.
Well, I mean, the value of Dylan Cease in terms of way more innings, way more consistency, staying healthy.
You have your choice.
Cease. I would take Cease every day of the week. Now, if I had to win one game, I'd take Glasnow. But if I had to have for a season, I take Cease and the consistency of 180, 200 innings versus the guy who never pitches more than 100 innings.
Yeah.
It's twice as valuable, twice as many innings. Mm. But yeah, if I just had one game to win, I take Tyler Glasnow.
Right. Cease for the long haul.
For the long haul, I take Cease. We lost our caller, so we still need another contestant for Take on Woods. You can get in right away now. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Let me tell you about the prize. It is a 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. 2 tickets to Kool and the Gang.
Yeah.
They are back by popular demand. Residency through 2024. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million in room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. And we've got our 5-question musical trivia challenge coming up as soon as we get our contestant locked in here on Take on Woods, which is starting now.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
All right, we've got all kinds of callers now. I got my choice of tier ones to go with. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. I think Andrew got in first, so let's be fair. Andrew, welcome to Take on Woods. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
We are doing fairly well. All right. Woods has left the studio. You get to go first. 5 questions. Then he goes. We compare. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for that trip to Las Vegas I just talked about. Here are your category choices today. We've got Chow Time, musical artists and song titles, including the word eat. Back to School, songs featuring school subjects. And our new category today is Royal Titles. 5 song titles or artists that include a British royal title in their name. Which of those 3 would you like to play, Andrew? Chow Time, Back to School, or Royal Titles?
Let's try Chow Time.
Chow Time. All right. Thank you. It's been sitting there for a few days. Again,
dig all the way back and find it.
Yeah. Go back a few days. All of today's musical artists and songs include the word eat somewhere in the name. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We can always come back to it if there's time left on the clock. Our first question is our 2-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the title and the artist to score that point. Andrew, are you ready?
Let's go.
All right, remember the category, Chow Time. You're looking for the word eat somewhere. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Andrew. Let's take on Woods.
Jimmy World, Path.
Which parody song by Weird Al includes the line, have some more chicken, have some more pie, it doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried?
Path.
Uh-oh, here she comes is the beginning of the chorus of which 1985...
Man-Eaters.
Correct. Which popular 1950s song about a mythical monster begins, "Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and a..." Correct. Which 1977 AC/DC song is named after a canine sounding expression that means a situation where people will do anything to win?
Pass.
Go back to the song. You need the title. You got Jimmy Eat World.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet.
Which parody song by Weird Al includes the line, "Have some more chicken, have some more pie, it doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried"? Let's Eat It, like Beat It from Michael Jackson. Just eat it. You got Man Eater, you got Purple People Eater. Dog Eat Dog is the AC/DC song, canine related. That song is called The Middle by Jimmy Eat World. So you did get 2 points. Let's bring Woods in. Hang on the line there, Andrew. We'll see. This is a tough category today. All right, Andrew's score is locked in. Wood's going to put his headphones on. We'll reset the clock and the song, 60 seconds. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Andrew.
That's Jimmy Eat World, Sweetness.
Incorrect. Oh. Which parody song by Weird Al includes the lines, "Have some more chicken, have some more pie, it doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried"?
Fat.
Incorrect. "Oh, oh, here she comes" is the beginning of which the chorus to which 1982 Hall and Oates classic?
Man-eater.
Correct. Which popular 1950s song about a mythical monster begins, "Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and a one big eye. I commenced to shaken and I said, ooh-ee."
Pass.
Which 1977 AC/DC song is named after a canine sounding expression that means a situation where people will do anything to win?
No.
You're lost now. Good news for Andrew.
Jeez.
Category would definitely have helped.
I have no idea.
None at all.
Giving the dog a bone.
That's incorrect.
That's a song.
Which popular 1950s song about a mythical monster begins, "Well, I saw the..."
Wow. What in the world?
Wow.
Give me a category.
It's called Chow Time. The word "eat" was in every single title. You got Jimmy Eat World. The song's The Middle.
Oh, The Middle.
Sweetness.
Not Sweetness. Okay.
Eat It by Weird Al instead
eat
of
it.
Beat It.
No,
Man Eater,
fat.
You got. Yeah.
Didn't he do "Because I'm Fat"? I'm fat.
He did. But this was Eat It.
Stupid.
The Purple People Eater is the mythical monster.
Nope, wouldn't have gotten that.
And Dog Eat Dog is the AC/DC song. Canine expression. Andrew, you're the winner today.
I don't know that it would have helped.
2-1. Congratulations. You are in for the drawing for Las Vegas.
Terrible.
Stay on the line. Paulie's going to get your information. It was a tough category. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes you win some. Sometimes you lose some.
Where's
sometimes
the consistency? When you win, you really lose.
Sometimes when you lose,
you really win. And sometimes when you win or lose, you really tie.
Woods,
and sometimes
I thought you had
you
some
tie,
momentum here in
you
Take
really
On
win or lose.
And then all of a sudden, all your momentum disappears against the category that you didn't really...
It's been I've been pod raising Take On Woods lately. Win one, lose one, win one, lose one, tie. It's very, very... I need to get back to basics.
Don't Do This is coming up next. And I've actually got a complaint about something that happened in last night's Padres game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
And I've got a Do This, and I wanted to get your take on it. I thought it was a really cool move, defending a teammate.
All right, that's coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't Do This.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking? Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You're a dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
The Odyssey app lets you jump back to the moments you missed on 97.3 The Fan. While you're listening, you can see what you missed, click Listen on Demand, and check out a guest, a feature, or anything that happened from earlier. We've got you covered. Just download the free Odyssey app, search 97.3 The Fan, and tap Earlier Today to get started. Right now, though, Woodsy going to get us started on Don't Do This.
Yeah, we...
Oh, which is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. Please.
Thank you very much. We got some, a little light was shed yesterday. We told you about former Dodgers pitcher Julio Urias. When the incident happened, domestic violence incident happened a few months ago at a soccer match in L.A. He was suspended on felony domestic violence. Well, now it's come out, Ben. He's going to be charged with five misdemeanors. The arrest happened in September. The five misdemeanors will be one count of spousal battery, one count of false imprisonment, one count of assault, two counts of domestic battery involving dating relationship. And they all carry...
They all sound serious to be misdemeanors.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, false imprisonment? Ah, same as a speeding ticket. You know what I mean? Like, they all carry about 6 months to a
speeding ticket
year.
Is even a misdemeanor. Speeding ticket's less than that. Speeding ticket
like
is just a...
public intoxication.
A violation,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a public intoxication. A misdemeanor. Again, but five of them, you know, they start to add up. And it said neither the victim's injuries nor the defendant's criminal history justify a felony filing. But his career is certainly in jeopardy. You're talking about a guy that was about to hit free agency and, you know, was projected to make probably a $200 million deal. I don't think he pitches in the big leagues again, Ben. And facing a couple of years in jail, don't know if they'll actually convict him on any of this. But again, you think about this. It's the second time he's been caught up in a controversy like this. Those are just the two times that you know about, right? Those are the two times that he's been caught. And hopefully the victim is free and clear and on her way to recovery right now. And yeah, there's no place for it in Major League Baseball or any type of job. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a privilege to play in the big leagues. And this dude has some serious problems. So they're gonna take him to court and put him through the process.
My Don't Do This isn't nearly as serious, but I'm always surprised. They went through, changed some rules the last couple of years in baseball, but they keep forgetting to change one that should have been changed long ago. And it popped up again last night in the Cubs 5-1 win over the Padres. In this day of baseball, in fact, really in any day of baseball, the rule that a starting pitcher must go five innings to get a win is really ridiculous. And yesterday, Ben Brown was kind of the victim of that. He pitched great against the Padres, 4 2/3 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. Got to 77 pitches, though, and they had, a lefty coming in, so they decided to pull him 1 out away from qualifying for the win. It wasn't because he was struggling or lack of effectiveness.
It was the opposite.
But they want to be careful with young arms, and they're denying these guys a chance to get a win. Not that a win is the be-all, end-all stat, but I'm sure it feels good when you look at your record and you get that W at the end of the day. So instead, they gave the win to the next pitcher who came in, Drew Smyly, who he gave up the home run to Eggy Rosario, yeah. But because you can't give it to Ben Brown and you have to give it to someone else, they gave it to Drew Smyly. To me, this is a simple fix that baseball should have done long ago. If the starting pitcher doesn't go five innings, it's... like now, it's at the discretion of the scorer to assign the win to one of the pitchers of the game. But make the starter one of the pitchers that they can give the win to. And if they determine that the starter was the most effective pitcher, as Ben Brown was last night, then he gets the win over a guy Drew Smyly, who came in, got four outs, gave up a home run. He was the least effective pitcher of the game.
Vulture.
And he gets the vultured win.
The vultured win.
And Ben Brown didn't do a thing wrong.
The guy was great. He was phenomenal.
And
like,
I don't know.
Scattered a couple of hits.
I'm arguing
dominant.
For the Cubs here, but it could impact the Padres. It could impact any team and any pitcher. And I think to be fair to pitchers, especially now that they're not expected to go as deep into games and they want to protect arms, they want to protect health. Well, you have to do this for the pitchers then. At least make them eligible to win the game with less than five innings. Now, I'm not saying if you're an opener and you pitch one inning and you give up two, but your team scores three in the bottom of the first, that you're now automatically in line for the win. You're not. You have to pitch effectively.
See the bigger picture, though. Open your third eye. They're trying to tamp down on success. I just held him back from a win.
But now Drew Smyly gets a win. He gets more success. Yeah, someone gets the win if you win.
He is younger. We want to keep the young players down. 4-2. That's on Craig Counsell. Come on, man. You don't overthink that. Your boy is shoving.
He didn't do anything wrong. Their team won the game. Their team won the game, and he protected his young arm. He should not care about a stat like a win. He should be trying to manage to win the game. You should never make a decision to try to get your player a stat.
That guy was shoving. He was shoving.
Did they win the game or did they not
win
the game? Then the manager did the right thing.
You're right. Both things can be true. They need to change that rule for sure.
Change the rule.
But if I'm Ben Brown, I'm like, really, dude? You can give me one more shot at getting
just change the rule.
Getting my first dub. All right, this is a pretty cool story for Doo-Doo this.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Former Padres pitcher David Bednar had some success. Two-time All-Star in Pittsburgh. He's not gotten off to the hottest of starts for the hot-ish Pirates right now, who are winning baseball games and look like they're having fun. This was really cool, and it's not something I've seen a ton of. So they're huddled around him, Ben, in a scrum, a post-game scrum. He blew another save. It's his third blown save this season.
I thought this was going to be a don't do this because the Pittsburgh fans, even though they're in first place, they are booing vociferously. A guy who is their closer. He's like a local guy.
Yeah, local guy.
They were mad.
They were very, very high.
It would be like Padres fans booing Trevor Hoffman because he had one bad day.
They got a taste of, they got to get a taste of playing well, and you start to lose your mind. We can relate, certainly, but so Bednar blows it. Now he stands in front of his locker. He's going to do his job, but before that happened, a teammate stepped in. This was pretty solid.
Put on air. This is the pride of Pittsburgh to everybody. We don't do that out here. We're a good team. We're winning for a reason. We're going to get our man back on track. But what happened today is, I think, unacceptable. And we as a group in Pittsburgh got to be better. It's an all-star for a reason. And we just have to be better. So that being said, two-time all-star.
David, I know it's a little emotional. What does it mean to have your guys like that behind you right now?
No, it's huge. Obviously, there's peaks and valleys through every season, and, we're going to get over this. It's definitely tough, but, seeing these guys have my back, it's huge.
That's phenomenal. Phenomenal, phenomenal. Now, again, I don't necessarily... I'm not mad at the Pittsburgh Pirates fans. And Rowdy Tellez, he's walking a fine line of telling fans how to fan, right? That's a fine line.
No, he told them how to fan.
He pretty much did, yeah.
He didn't walk in.
There's no fine line.
There's no fine line.
He just told
them how to fan.
We don't do that here. Man, I will say, though, that's badass. It's badass. The guy said, hey, we got this guy's back. We're going to get him on track. He's the pride of Pittsburgh. I thought that was really cool. I mean, who was the guy last year that the fans were booing mercilessly? Oh, it was, who was it? And then they gave him the...
Turner.
Trey Turner in Philly. Gave him the standing O, goes on to hit 600 or something the rest of the year, played out of his mind. It's a really, really hard job. The last three outs of a game are the hardest ones to get. He struggled, certainly. Knowing that your teammates got your back in there and them speaking up about it to the media, I thought it was a really cool story, one we don't see enough of.
Kez's takeaway in the chat is, are those baseball players or the local fat guys? Well, both.
Yes.
Both, actually. Rowdy and Bednar even are not
boys.
Not the smallest of dudes, but are you effective or are you not effective? And usually both of those guys have been pretty effective.
Because both of those guys would rip your head off with one hand. I mean, you would never say it to them ever. Like, those are some big old boys, dude. Rowdy Tellez and David Bednar, not two guys you want to run into and start popping off at a bar.
I loved when it was John Kruk and Tony Gwynn back-to-back in the Padres lineup.
So good. Well, Kruk said it before, and then Ozzie Guillen just said it last week. those guys tend to be more effective because you can't pull fat. And all the young, strong guys can't pull fat. It's my new excuse.
And that's Don't and Do Do This for Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I'll check in with Adam Jones, get his thoughts on the Orioles' big move, calling up their prospect Jackson Holliday, and other things in the first week and a half here of the baseball season. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods and I are discussing our Masters picks here during the break. Maybe Adam Jones can help us out. I think he's a golfer. Let's just go right to him right now. Joining us is our friend, the all-star Adam Jones. Who do you like in the Masters, AJ?
I'm going with Scheffler. He's been playing great. I know Tiger's been saying he's feeling good, but I'm going with Scheffler. He's been playing really good, and, you know, I like the number one in the world.
So Tiger said yesterday that, hey, if everything goes right, I put it all together, I can win one more of these things. Is it important as a professional athlete to be delusional sometimes, Adam? I love Tiger. If he finishes four rounds, that's a huge win for him this week.
That's
huge
a win. That's a dub.
Huge win. Yes. He doesn't have to win the tournament to win. I mean, the odds that he could actually win, he's like 150-1. I mean, it would be one of the greatest stories in sports history if he won, but he walks in and he goes, oh, yeah, I got a shot at this thing. I mean, it's important to sometimes be a little delusional as an athlete.
100%. But I believe that, first off, 4 days is just the tough part.
Yeah.
Just know that if he has to wear his Sunday red and he's a few strokes within the lead, he's going to scare the living hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
And he'll make somebody falter because that's what he does. So, again, the biggest thing with him is the health. And, you know, I've seen him walking around the course yesterday on the practice round. I mean, at the end of the day, why not just give him a cart?
That's what we've been saying it for years.
It's tough.
He wouldn't take one, even if they offered it. I'm sure they would probably change the rules for him, but he wouldn't take it. Remember, he was teammates with Casey Martin at Stanford who you know, could not walk. He would, and they would not give him a cart. And I think Tiger remembers that as well. The exception is not going to be made for me either. Part of golf, he thinks, is walking. And if he can't do it, then he doesn't deserve to play. But he's going to keep trying going out there.
Well, he's 2 years away from the senior tour then. So that's where he'll be, because it's hard to walk these courses. You're talking, you know, 8 miles.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, that is, no matter who you are, it's tough. And just these young guys, these young kids, some of them, they burn out on those third and fourth days. So the biggest thing with Tiger is health. It's not skill. We know that. But I just think if he can play all 4 days and he's within a few strokes on that Sunday, somebody's sphincter's going to get tight.
No question. No question about it. Well,
it's not his.
You know, speaking of that, I don't really want to repeat it, but tight. Yeah, right? Tight B-hole is what they call it in baseball terms sometimes.
Sphincters.
All right, that's fine, I guess.
It's just a muscle.
Term. It's fine.
It's just a muscle.
I'm not allowed to say the other one anymore. I've been in trouble. Well, listen, one kid that you feel like probably won't be all that nervous tonight is Jackson Holliday, who's been called up to the Orioles. I'm sure he's going to be excited. But, man, he looks like he belongs, certainly. He's going to be playing second base for your Orioles. And I know you're excited about seeing his debut. Fenway Park, a debut. You can't make it any better than that. Awesome. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Obviously, the Red Sox aren't the name on the back of the jersey like they used to be. I seen opening day yesterday. And I was like, Devers, Yoshida, and who in the hell is the rest of these guys? But again, they're going to be competitive as they always are. But I think it's great for him to start on the road, get his feet wet. Obviously, a place like this, like Fenway.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's been groomed for this since day one. Obviously, there's more video that's going to be coming out of him on the field with his dad and different things like that, all the home videos. But he's been groomed for this. He's been hitting at major league ballparks forever. I'm pretty sure he's probably taken batting practice at Fenway before. That was with the Yankees and stuff like that. So I think the only thing that's just going to be, if any issue, is the third deck. I don't think the talent level is going to bother him. I think he's, you know, ready for that. I just think the third deck, you're playing in bigger stadiums. The game is just a little quicker than it was in AAA. But again, that's why when you go to AAA and you're playing the first couple weeks, a couple months in AAA, you're playing against major league quality guys. So I think that he understands the speed aspect of it. So it's just about getting the reps in the major leagues. Is he going to struggle? Who knows? Everyone has struggled in the history of the game. But this kid's getting caught up at 20. And, I mean, the future is absolutely bright. He's going to wear number 7 like his father. And I think the whole baseball world is happy. But I know Birdland right now is incredibly, incredibly juiced for what's going to happen tonight.
Keeping it in the AL East, we're talking with Adam Jones. The New York Yankees off to a hot start. They're now 10-2, which just goes to show you take a talented but underperforming roster and you inject Juan Soto. You're unstoppable.
Sky's the limit.
There's absolutely no way a team like that can fail. What's different for the Yankees than compared for the Padres when they had Juan Soto? Because they're making it work right off the bat.
It's just different teams. I mean, you can't necessarily say what works, what didn't work. It's different teams, different ballparks, different surroundings. I think, you know, we talked about it with someone else, is that New York is a different animal, and it's no knock or anything to San Diego or the media of San Diego or anything, but San Diego is San Diego. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are sports fans because there's something to watch on TV, but New York, that's a different animal. And I just think that the accountability factor of New York, when Soto was in San Diego, he'd go 4-for-4. Cool. Like, we'll talk about that locally. Maybe it shows on SportsCenter. When Soto's 0-for-4, it's known in the whole baseball world. That's being a Yankee. When Cano was a Yankee, every single thing was known. When he went to Seattle, he had to go 4-for-4 for us to even know he was alive. So I think the market of New York is a place that forces either you forced to hold accountability or it knocks you down. And you've seen that with many players. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't. I think this is the place that he needed to be to officially just like, hey, put it. And again, his numbers are going to be great in San Diego, but just a place of accountability. He has to speak to the media. The questions are going to be tougher in New York. It's going to be 40 media people per, maybe even more versus San Diego's, you know, so it's the media aspect of it is just a little bit different from New York to San Diego. So I think the accountability factor, again, not saying San Diego's not holding them accountable. I'm just saying New York is a
the scale.
No, we know what you're saying.
It's
animal.
The scale.
It's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault.
It's Ben and Woods' fault. We don't ask tough enough questions, and that's why the Padres aren't as successful. I hear it. That's what he's saying, right?
Well, you know, I always, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I get this a lot, AJ, where they go, well, you guys are so soft. That's why the team's bad. And I go, well, when was the last time the Mets or the Yankees or the Giants or the Jets or the Rangers or the
Knicks?
The Knicks won an effing thing. I mean, literally, like, what are we talking about
time.
Here? It's been a long time.
Yep.
And, yeah, you know, certainly they expect it, but you can expect all you want. I did the Padres yesterday, AJ. We were talking about momentum. That comeback the night before was brilliant. It was incredible.
Unbelievable.
I stayed up for it. I couldn't believe I stayed up for it. It was a magical, magical moment. You come in the next day, you got, you know, one of your aces on the bump, and you're like, there's no way. The vibe's got to be through the roof. These guys are going to be feeling it. No. Just got shut down by a hard-throwing rookie, and it just makes you want to bang your head into the wall. And it's hard for this team, AJ, to exercise the ghosts of 2023. We're going to have to move on at some point, but they are too. They're going to have to show us that they can do that.
That's true. I need my guy, Manny, to get back at third. I think that's where, I mean, his comfort is. And obviously, he's such a master on the defensive end that just culminates his full game, brings it all over. He's not a DH that, you know, that's coming at 38, 39,
right,
maybe 37. So, you know, I'm not, you know, again, he won't use an excuse, and I definitely won't give him no damn excuses. He know that. But I'm just saying, as a defensive whiz and a defensive-minded person also as an offensive guy, playing defense gives you, you know, just a different feel.
Yep.
Because if you knock into a, you know, a double play or don't get a hit and you're DH, there's nothing you can do until your next at bat. If you go on a defensive end, you can do something about it. So I'm expecting it that once he gets back. Again, I'm expecting him to get hot tonight.
Okay? Yeah, I think he already is, actually. I think the last two days he swung the bat well. He went the other way last night, just smoked it. Two line drives over 108. I think he's almost there. I want to ask you, though, because Woods was kind of alluding to it, and we had this discussion about momentum. How real is it? How elusive is it as a player? Do you believe in such a thing, or is each day its own game and you show up and anything can happen? How did you view it as a player?
No. I truly believe in it. But at the same time, early in the season, I'm not going to, like, game 12, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're about to go on a 25-game winning streak. Game 12. It's game 12. Like, yep. You know what I mean? There's no – you can't get too high, get too low about game 12. But a good momentum would be, again, right before the All-Star break. Remember, we talked about it last year.
Yep.
And it's something that if the Padres were able to go – like 10-2, right, going into the All-Star break, it would have put them in a different category. They were able to get hot and get the momentum, you know, early September, which was maybe 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks too late. So, you know, that's when momentum kicks in, is those times like that. But again, you always take a winning streak. You always take a wave of energy, but don't hold too much. Don't hold your breath too long on something that's going on with 12 games into the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. It felt like, okay, the vibes are going to be through the roof. These guys are really, really believing in themselves after 8-0, man. That's no joke. You know, 8-0 in the late innings. Coming back from that was awesome, dude. It was awesome. And you feel like, man, Joe's going to roll into the ballpark ready to go. They're going to light this rookie up. Now, sometimes you run into a guy, and the kid had good stuff, but not stuff that was blow your hair back. I mean, he was a fastball, curveball guy, and he just had them mixed up and kind of rolling over weekly, and just one of those nights, man. One of those nights in the big league. Still have a chance to win the series today against Kyle Hendricks. And how tough is that going up against a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who's done really, really well, like, against you? He kind of owns the Padres a little bit. Now you're like, all right, now they have to win a series, and they need to do it today, AJ.
Well, the worst part about facing Kyle Hendricks is, like, you know that you're not going to get blown away.
Yeah.
But he's just going to annoy the hell out of you.
He's annoying.
Like, he's going to throw that two-seamer away, followed by the changeup off that. He's going to throw two-seamer in, followed by the changeup off of that same pitch. Then the big curveball. And he pitches. What you got to do is you just got to make him uncomfortable, put the ball in play as much as possible. Obviously, try and get the ball up because he's a sinker baller and he wants the ball down. And they have a fantastic defense, especially up the middle. So you want to try and hit the ball in the air as much as possible. And just keep traffic going. That's the way to beat a guy like him. You got to keep traffic going. I don't know when the last time a major league team put a hit and run on. This is the kind of guy you might want to do something against,
sure,
like that against. Because again, I can't think of the last time somebody put a hit and run on in Major League Baseball.
1994
tonight might be. There you go. Feels like it. But I think tonight might be a perfect night to do that. Just, you know, do something different. Obviously, Mando's swinging it good. Crone's been swinging it good. Cronenworth. I mean, get the guys going. Get, you know, whoever's been struggling, force him to swing the bat by getting it going. They used to always say that. A guy who's struggling, make him swing the bat by putting a hit and run on him, and, you know, something might happen and get him hot. So just be creative. Why not? Again, I've said it a couple years ago, the way to win is to open up the whole entire kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Why hide anything? There's no point. There's no trickery anymore. There's no trick plays like the Statue of Liberty that Boise State ran a few years ago. There's no more trick plays like that. Get it done today.
I love kit and caboodle. That's a great expression. 3:40 start. I think that's like 11:40 in Barcelona. Adam, appreciate it as always. Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen. Miss you guys.
I miss you too. Before the top of the hour, let's get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. 5-star Yelp reviews right there. Thank you, Kelly, sneaking it in.
Why Air Max?
Simply the best. Right before the top of the hour. All right, we'll come back. We have two more hours to go here on Ben and Woods. We'll reset things. Brett Boone going to join us.
Woody.
It's former All-Star Wednesday here on Ben and Woods. He will join us at 8:35. Still lots to get to with Ben and Woods. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods and I are discussing our Masters picks here during the break. Maybe Adam Jones can help us out. I think he's a golfer. Let's just go right to him right now. Joining us is our friend, the all-star Adam Jones. Who do you like in the Masters, AJ?
I'm going with Scheffler. He's been playing great. I know Tiger's been saying he's feeling good. But I'm going with Scheffler's been playing really good. And, you know, I like the number one in the world.
So Tiger said yesterday that, hey, if everything goes right, I put it all together, I can win one more of these things. Is it important as a professional athlete to be delusional sometimes, Adam? I love Tiger. If he finishes four rounds, that's a huge win for him this week.
That's
huge
a win. That's a dub.
Huge
yes.
win.
Yes.
He doesn't have to win the tournament to win. I mean, the odds that he could actually win, he's like 150-1. I mean, right. It would be one of the greatest stories in sports history if he won, but he walks in and he goes, oh, yeah, I got a shot at this thing. I mean, it's important to sometimes be a little delusional as an athlete.
100%. But I believe that, first off, 4 days is just the tough part.
Yeah.
Just know that if he has to wear his Sunday red and he's a few strokes within the lead, mm-hmm. he's going to scare the living hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
And he'll make somebody falter
yeah.
because that's what he does. So, again, the biggest thing with him is the health. And, you know, I've seen him walking around the course yesterday on the practice round. I mean, at the end of the day, why not just give him a cart?
That's what we've been saying it for years.
It's tough.
He wouldn't take one, even if they offered
one.
I'm sure they would probably change the rules for him, but he wouldn't take it. Remember, he was teammates with Casey Martin at Stanford who you know, could not walk. He would, and they would not give him a cart. And I think Tiger remembers that as well. I'm not going to, the exception is not going to be made for me either. Part of golf, he thinks, is walking. And if he can't do it, then he doesn't deserve to play. But he's going to keep trying going out there.
Well, he's 2 years away from the senior tour then. So that's where he'll be, because it's hard to walk these courses. You're talking, you know, 8 miles.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, that is, no matter who you are, it's tough. And just these young guys, these young kids, some of them, they burn out on those third and fourth days. So the biggest thing with Tiger is health. It's not skill. We know that. But I just think if he can play all 4 days and he's within a few strokes on that Sunday, somebody's sphincter's going to get tight.
No question. No question about it. Well,
it's not his.
You know, speaking of that, I don't really want to repeat it, but tight. Yeah, right? Tight B-hole is what they call it in baseball terms sometimes.
Sphincters.
All right, that's fine, I guess.
It's just a muscle.
Term. It's fine.
It's just whatever. A muscle.
I'm not allowed to say the other one anymore. I've been in trouble. Well, listen, one kid that you feel like probably won't be all that nervous tonight is Jackson Holliday, who's been called up to the Orioles. I'm sure he's going to be excited. But, man, he looks like he belongs, certainly. He's going to be playing second base for your Orioles. And I know you're excited about seeing his debut. Fenway Park, a debut. You can't make it any better than that.
Awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Obviously, the Red Sox aren't the name on the back of the jersey like they used to be. I seen opening day yesterday. And I was like, Devers, Yoshida, and who in the hell
right.
is the rest of these guys? But again, they're going to be competitive as they always are. But I think it's great for him to start on the road, get his feet wet. Obviously, a place like this, like Fenway.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's been groomed for this since day one. Obviously, there's more video that's going to be coming out of him on the field with his dad and different things like that, all the home videos. But he's been groomed for this. He's been hitting at major league ballparks forever. I'm pretty sure he's probably taken batting practice at Fenway before. That was with the Yankees and stuff like that. So I think the only thing that's just going to be, if any issue, is the third deck. I don't think the talent level is going to bother him. I think he's, you know, ready for that. I just think the third deck, you're playing in bigger stadiums. The game is just a little quicker than it was in AAA. But again, that's why when you go to AAA and you're playing the first couple weeks, a couple months in AAA, you're playing against major league quality guys. So I think that he understands the speed aspect of it. So it's just about getting the reps in the major leagues. Is he going to struggle? Who knows? Everyone has struggled in the history of the game. But this kid's getting caught up at 20. And, I mean, the future is absolutely bright. He's going to wear number 7 like his father. And I think the whole baseball world is happy. But I know Birdland right now is incredibly, incredibly juiced for what's going to happen tonight.
Keeping it in the AL East, we're talking with Adam Jones. The New York Yankees off to a hot start. They're now 10 and two, which just goes to show you, you take a talented but underperforming roster and you inject Juan Soto, you're unstoppable.
Sky's the limit.
There's absolutely no way a team like that can fail. What's different for the Yankees than compared for the Padres when they had Juan Soto? Because they're making it work right off the bat.
It's just different teams. I mean, you can't necessarily say what works, what didn't work. It's different teams, different ballparks, different surroundings. I think, you know, we talked about it with someone else, is that New York is a different animal, and it's no knock or anything to San Diego or the media of San Diego or anything. But San Diego is San Diego. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are sports fans because there's something to watch on TV. But New York, that's a different animal. And I just think that the accountability factor of New York, when Soto was in San Diego, he'd go 4-for-4. Cool. Like, we'll talk about that locally. Maybe it shows on SportsCenter. When Soto's 0-for-4, it's known in the whole baseball world. That's being a Yankee. When Cano was a Yankee, every single thing was known. When he went to Seattle, he had to go 4-for-4 for us to even know he was alive. So I think the market of New York is a place that forces either you forced to hold accountability or it knocks you down. And you've seen that with many players. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't. I think this is the place that he needed to be to officially just like, hey, put it. And again, his numbers are going to be, it was great in San Diego, but just a place of accountability. He has to speak to the media. The questions are going to be tougher in New York. It's going to be 40 media people per, maybe even more versus San Diego's, you know, so it's the media aspect of it is just a little bit different from New York to San Diego. So I think the accountability factor, again, not saying San Diego's not holding them accountable. I'm just saying New York is a
the scale.
No, we know what you're saying.
It's the scale.
It's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault.
It's Madden Woods' fault. We don't ask tough enough questions, and that's why the Padres aren't as successful. I hear it. That's what he's saying, right?
Well, you know, I always, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I get this a lot, AJ, where they go, well, you guys are so soft. That's why the team's bad. And I go, well, when was the last time the Mets or the Yankees or the Giants or the Jets or the Rangers or the
Knicks?
The Knicks won an effing thing. I mean, literally, like, what are we talking about
time.
Here? It's been a long time.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, certainly they expect it, but you can expect all you want. I did the Padres yesterday, AJ. We were talking about momentum. That comeback the night before was brilliant. It was incredible.
Unbelievable.
I stayed up for it. I couldn't believe I stayed up for it. It was a magical, magical moment. You come in the next day, you got, you know, one of your aces on the bump, and you're like, there's no way. The vibe's got to be through the roof. These guys are going to be feeling it. No. Just got shut down by a hard-throwing rookie, and it just makes you want to bang your head into the wall. And it's hard for this team, AJ, to exercise the ghosts of 2023. We're going to have to move on at some point, but they are too. They're going to have to show us that they can do that.
That's true. I need my guy, Manny, to get back at third. I think that's where, I mean, his comfort is. And obviously, he's such a master on the defensive end that just culminates his full game, brings it all over. He's not a DH that, you know, that's coming at 38, 39,
right,
maybe 37. So, you know, I'm not, you know, again, he won't use an excuse, and I definitely won't give him no damn excuses. He know that. But I'm just saying, as a defensive whiz and a defensive-minded person also as an offensive guy, playing defense gives you, you know, just a different feel.
Yep.
Because if you knock into a, you know, a double play or don't get a hit and you're DH, there's nothing you can do until your next at bat. If you go on the defensive end, you can do something about it. So I'm expecting it when once he gets back. Again, I'm expecting him to get hot tonight.
Okay? Yeah, I think he already is, actually. I think the last two days, he swung the bat well. He went the other way last night, just smoked it. Two line drives over 108. I think he's almost there. I want to ask you, though, because Woods was kind of alluding to it, and we had this discussion about momentum. How real is it? How elusive is it as a player? Do you believe in such a thing, or is each day its own game, and you show up, and anything can happen? How did you view it as a player?
No. It's very I truly believe in it. But at the same time, early in the season, I'm not going to, like, game 12, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're about to go on a 25-game winning streak. Game 12. It's game 12. Like, yep. You know what I mean? There's no you can't get too high, get too low about game 12. But a good momentum would be, again, right before the All-Star break. Remember, we talked about it last year.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's something that if the Padres were able to go like 10-2 right going into the All-Star break, it would have put them in a different category. They were able to get hot and get the momentum, you know, early September, which was maybe 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks too late. So, you know, that's when momentum kicks in, is those times like that. But again, you always take a winning streak. You always take a wave of energy, but don't hold too much. Don't hold your breath too long on something that's going on with 12 games into the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. It felt like, okay, the vibes are going to be through the roof. These guys are really, really believing in themselves after 8-0, man. That's no joke. You know, 8-0 in the late innings. Coming back from that was awesome, dude. It was awesome. And you feel like, man, Joe's going to roll into the ballpark ready to go. They're going to light this rookie up. Now, sometimes you run into a guy, and the kid had good stuff, but not stuff that was blow your hair back. I mean, he was a fastball, curveball guy, and he just had them mixed up and kind of rolling over weekly, and just one of those nights, man. One of those nights in the big league. Still have a chance to win the series today against Kyle Hendricks. And how tough is that going up against a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who's done really, really well, like, against you? He kind of owns the Padres a little bit. Now you're like, all right, now they have to win a series, and they need to do it today, AJ.
Well, the worst part about facing Kyle Hendricks is, like, you know that you're not going to get blown away.
Yeah.
But he's just going to annoy the hell out of you.
He's annoying.
Like, he's going to throw that two-seamer away, followed by the changeup off that. He's going to throw two-seamer in, followed by the changeup off of that same pitch. Then the big curveball. And he pitches. What you got to do is you just got to make him uncomfortable, put the ball in play as much as possible. Obviously, try and get the ball up because he's a sinker baller and he wants the ball down. And they have a fantastic defense, especially up the middle. So you want to try and hit the ball in the air as much as possible. And just keep traffic going. That way to beat a guy like him. You got to keep traffic going. I don't know when the last time a major league team put a hit and run on. This is the kind of guy you might want to do something against,
sure,
like that against. Because again, I can't think of the last time somebody put a hit and run on in Major League Baseball.
1994
tonight might be. There you go. Feels like it. But I think tonight might be a perfect night to do that. Just, you know, do something different. Obviously, Mando's swinging it good. Crone's been swinging it good. Cronenworth. I mean, get the guys going. Get, you know, whoever's been struggling.
I like
you
that.
Know, force him to swing the bat by getting it going. They used to always say that. A guy who's struggling, make him swing the bat by putting a hit and run on him, and, you know, something might happen and get him hot. So just be creative. Why not? Again, I said it a couple years ago. The way to win is to open up the whole entire kit and caboodle.
Yep.
Why hide anything? There's no point. There's no trickery anymore. There's no trick plays like the Statue of Liberty that Boise State ran
right.
a few years ago. There's no more trick plays like that. Get it done and get it done today.
I love kit and caboodle. That's a great expression. 3:40 start. I think that's like 11:40 in Barcelona. Adam, appreciate it as always. Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen. Miss you guys.
I miss you too. Before the top of the hour, let's get a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. 5-star Yelp reviews right there. Thank you, Kelly, sneaking it in.
Why Air Max?
Simply the best. Right before the top of the hour. All right, we'll come back. We have two more hours to go here on Ben and Woods. We'll reset things. Brett Boone going to join us.
Woody.
It's former All-Star Wednesday here on Ben and Woods. He will join us at 8:35. Still lots to get to with Ben and Woods. Don't go away. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.